From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
What's up? And welcome back to another episode of No Ceilings Podcast with your host. Nah, fuck that, with your low, Glasses Malone.
Brothers, you should do 100. They say, no, I'ma do 50. But I'm still 100% a provider. How is that possible? A man is 100% provider. When he's unable to provide 100%, the woman picks up the slack.
Correct.
Now, the woman is not just picking up his slack, but doing hers. So she's picking up the slack of a man. That's 50%, right? Providing the woman. 50% nurturing. So she's 50% provider, 50% nurturer. Who picks up the slack of the woman? The child. Now the child is 50% a child and 50% a nurturer. Now the child is nurturing the siblings. Man, 50%. Woman, 100%. Child, 100%. So a man that's going 50% with his woman, it's like a man's not even there. Because if that man left, the woman would still be 50% provider, 50% nurturer. The child would still be 50% child, 50% nurturer. The man is the only one comfortable in that equation, and that's why he says, no, Yada, don't tell him the truth, because I'm comfortable.
Thoughts, Peter. Thoughts. Thoughts, my man. Instant thoughts.
Well, tragically, our show is confined to a one-hour time period, so I won't be able to give my thoughts. There's some principles in that are true. I agree with the basic concept. I think maybe it's just the way it's being pieced together is a mess. So, I mean, the reality is there aren't a lot of fathers that are there that don't do any parenting, you know? That's ridiculous. If a father left and took his earnings with him and the court didn't take some of them back, it's not the same scenario for that woman. I think everybody agrees with that. I don't know. To me personally, there's so many weird dynamics with dual income households. It's just, it's almost on a case by case basis.
Okay, first off, what are you drinking?
Well, since I couldn't get anything to drink at the Drink Champs today, I didn't make the playoffs at Drink Champs today, unfortunately. So I'm just having a rum and Coke. Nothing
special. Why you didn't get nothing to drink? They didn't give you nothing to drink?
I'm not going to put it on those guys, but I wasn't offered anything to drink, and it's not my place, so I wasn't going to go walking around with my hand out.
I'll make sure I'm there. They give you all the good shit.
Well, that would be very thoughtful. But yeah, after my last episode, I said, how come women live with their hand out? I wasn't going to walk around with my hand out just a week later.
Okay, so one part of the math was when he said, so the man is a 50% provider, and then the woman's a 50% provider and a 50% nurturer. And then the child ends up taking a hike or taking a hit because they have to become 50% nurturer and 50% child. And he said if the man left, nothing would change because the woman would be 50% nurturer, 50% provider, and the child was still 50% child and 50% nurturer. Well, where the fuck is the other 50% coming from? So unless he advising sisters to get on government assistance, you'd be short 50%. But
very true.
I guess I get the point of what he's. I get the point of what he's saying. I don't know. If you put in 100%, that means a woman is going to be 100% nurturer.
I'll take three women in my family.
Okay.
All right. My mom, my aunt, and my slut grandma. Now, my mom and my aunt.
Bro, did you just call your grandmother a slut?
Yeah, my other grandma wasn't
a slut. Dog. What is wrong with white people?
Ask her.
White men, like you and fucking Eminem, dog. Why is your grandmother a slut, bro?
No. I don't know why she is. She insists upon it. I don't know why.
You cannot call your grandmother a slut.
Watch me. After I tell you why, you'll go, oh, okay. I guarantee it. I'll hold that for the end, though.
Okay.
She did not work. She didn't parent either. I don't know what the fuck she did. I mean, I know what the fuck she did, but none of it was nurturing or providing, okay? That's a fact.
Yo, this is your granny you talking about.
This is my slut grandma, not my good grandma. I got good grandma, she's dead. Dead grandma and slut grandma.
Whose mother is this, Pete? Is this...
We're not going to be that specific.
Okay, cool. At least you will respect only the grandmother that knows she's alive if she listens to No Ceilings eventually knows who you're talking about. Got it.
I'm pretty sure she doesn't, but that's true.
It may
true.
Surprise you. Yeah, she may call your motherfucking ass and be like, who are you fucking calling a slut, Peter? Go ahead.
It phase me one bit.
Go ahead to the sister.
And then my mom and my aunt, who are in-laws, not both sisters, they both started their marriages off as just stay-at-home moms and then just wanted more to do and became full-time teachers and then both retired and then both started working part-time after a little while because they were bored again. So, and in those cases also, that money is not usually going to be 50-50 either. So there's that. Like in our household, my mom's teaching money, that wasn't 50% of nothing, all right, at all. And, you know, all three fathers in these scenarios were all doing things. They were helping coach kids. They were picking kids up here or there. They were doing stuff, working full-time, providing full-time. They were doing all of it, and they were actively engaged, nurturing and raising and rearing these children. Lord knows my slut grandma wasn't rearing. Well, she wasn't rearing the children.
Bro, you got to stop calling your grandmother a slut. You're killing me.
I'll tell you why. I'm going
to
tell you why.
Wait to the end, okay. But just please, at least to the end.
No, this is the end. I'll tell you why now.
Just wait to the last 58 minutes to tell me. Just hold that. Just
Oh, in minute 58? Okay. Yeah, All right.
Just wait a minute.
That'll be the closer. Don't worry.
Please, please.
You want a closer? I got a closer. It's just, hard.
As a black person, as a black man, it feels so weird to listen to someone say something insulting about their grandmother. But I get it.
Wait till I tell you about her mother, my slut great-grandma.
Bro, what the fuck? Dude?
She was a scientist and an architect. Did you know she was an early pioneer in glory hole technology?
Oh, Pete. Fucking Pete, man. Oh, man. You're going to make this episode long.
No, I got a commitment at 58 minutes in.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so let me ask you something. Do you believe, No Ceilings, GL, Glasses Low, me and Pete, popping game. Y'all know how we do it on No Ceilings about this time. So, okay. It could almost, to me, like his math, like when people talk like that, it almost seems like they're catering to kind of the desire of women, right? Where it's like,
what was my first sentence in the group chat?
I don't remember. What was it?
I said, more simp talk trying to tell a female audience what they want to hear to try to gain quick popularity.
Okay. So, long story short, I don't think there's a man who would not like to provide 100% of everything for their family.
1000%.
I don't think there's a man that's not the goal, right? If it's possible, I think every healthy man, right? Healthy. Like if you're healthy, right? Like if you're mentally healthy, like you haven't been through any of the bullshit that makes you develop that poison where you just don't trust women. So you like, you know, the traditional she live here too, guys, because something bad happened before. Right. So I think every man would like to provide 100%, 117% of everything for their family. Right. But I think most men, right, in America are not in positions to, especially people that come from where we come from, right? Because it ain't like we fast-tracked into any, you know, jobs or companies and shit. So I think as a defense mechanism, right, because they have been unable to obtain it, right, that's where you get kind of the 50-50 bros, where it's like, she live here too, because they don't make enough money. And they don't want to be in a situation to where it's like they don't have anything, giving up everything.
Yeah. Real quick. Did you see the statistical release by, well, it was somebody else, and then Yahoo Finance did their own analysis that was even more egregious of what the requisite annual income is to afford the median house price in America now versus 4 years ago?
I think you sent it to me, but remind me anyway.
$58,000 to $106,000 in 4 years to afford the median home price in America.
Just the home itself?
Well, Yahoo factored in increases in prices of power and insurance as well.
But just the price of a home, not the bills, not the car notes, not the insurances.
Homeowners insurance for the Yahoo one, it was homeowners insurance.
So just the home.
And the note. And the note, the insurance, and I think the power bill. But yeah, just that.
58 to 100?
Yeah. 106. 50 to 106.
Across America?
For the median price.
Fuck. You know what? I was telling somebody, I was telling somebody something you explained to me about California. We were talking about California. This is right around the time you was like, yo, I'm going to leave. Gee, I got to get the fuck up out of here. You know what I mean? I got to be smart. Right? And you was telling me, tell me the story about how California was and when your grandparents, your grandfather came, right? When he came here, because it was cheap and it wasn't a lot of opportunities. Obviously, it wasn't this version of California that we know roughly almost 100 years later now.
Oh, shit. Dude, it is like close. 90 years. It's been like 90.
Yeah, it's like the 30s, right?
Yeah. Okay. So obviously, it was a Great Depression. So it wasn't like the best of times. But California was a beacon of growth relative to other areas. And then after that, you had the World War II Pacific Theater War Machine and the subsequent wave of momentum from that. But yeah, it was a smaller population state. You had a wave of people that moved there where there was a demand for people within the market. Now there's a ton of people and there's a demand for market among the people. So it's inverted. But yeah, they're incomparable. It's utterly incomparable. I wouldn't even know where you would want me to go to describe the differences.
Well, I remember between, like, you were saying they came to Linwood and then they ended up on the beach when the beach was still cheap.
Oh, yeah. Over time. Yeah. Like my family had one side was in Linwood, the other was in Huntington Park. And they moved from there to Downey. I think in the 50s, by the early 60s, from Downey, they moved to one part of the family moved to Palos Verdes and the other one moved to Newport Beach.
Okay.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going, because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Is there a state in the United States of America that something like that is happening to right now?
It happened.
Where there's a lack of people, but a surplus in demand for human beings.
It's a little more scattered. I would say the closest thing to that would be Texas. Florida was that probably 10 years ago, but Florida's had a ton of people and a ton of people with money move here. So it's the wages to expenses situation in Florida is tough right now. It's better than California probably, but it's brutal. But Texas has a lot of opportunity, and it doesn't have a lot of the issues that would drive up cost immediately. You can get stuff and have a cash surplus there.
What would you think is the next state to actually... It's hard to predict that, right? Because California obviously benefited off of World War II with everything that happened, you know, on the Pacific coast with Japan, World War II, right? So,
yeah, it had that. And then it had the entertainment industry all went from, I mean, that industry from Charlie Chaplin to John Wayne wasn't that long in time, but it was big in scope and scale.
Sure.
And also you had, so that was a lot of new technology, new movie technology, new television technology, new radio technology, all the above. And then after that, you had the biggest wave of all in Northern California was the tech explosion, $10 trillion in market capitalization in like three tiny little counties up there that buoy the entire state financially right now.
Okay. So the reason I'm asking is because we're having a conversation about 100% men that would like to provide for their families top to bottom.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to take the route, bro, especially with brothers, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to take the route of beating Nick. Like, we didn't beat brothers up for long enough around this motherfucker, right, in this country.
Sure.
If a brother wanted to take care of their family, let's say he got married and then he got a kid or two, and you say, man, you need to move to another state, right? Where would you advise that person? What state would they move to, being that you went to the financial kind of, the financial models of this country in different states like that?
I would say move to Texas, because in Texas, you don't need to have like the greatest, you don't have to have some barrier of entry skill set that's a mile high. Like, oh, move to Silicon Valley because there's just money falling out of the sky there. Well, you have to be incredibly specially equipped to be able to get that money there.
It's not a blue collar town.
No, the energy sector in Texas, east and west, has a lot of opportunity for you to go down there and get paid good money. There's a lot of money in that field, and it is blue collar, and then your expenses are going to be very, very, very low. So you can shoulder a lot more there.
What about town? How far are towns like Memphis away? Is it even in the, like towns like Detroit, where you're hearing stuff, like I'm hearing stuff about Michigan and Detroit. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing things, right? Certain wealthy white men, you know, wealthy power structures are taking an interest in Detroit. Like, how far are places like Memphis and Detroit away from, because like I look at somewhere like Atlanta, like I went to Atlanta, we was in Atlanta a couple months ago, right? And it looked like Compton did to me. Not all of Atlanta. Atlanta has, you know, Buckhead, all the nice places, but I'm saying even the ghetto started to, it went from looking like third world, like when I first went, to looking like Compton. So I was able to put it on a growth economic. I could see where it was going at that
point. And Atlanta has had that. It has a lot of growth.
So if you go into Georgia now, you're a little behind.
Yeah, you probably are price-wise.
Because they don't have economy for humans just yet, like California did, the variety.
They have it. It's just largely full. I mean, usually the way that stuff works is, it grows, and then people fill it, and then demand increases, and then prices go up. Prices have already gone up there a lot.
So that
cycle's more mature. Yeah. The problem with Memphis is there's no economy really there, unless you specifically find like the right job with FedEx or at that oil refinery. There's not a lot going on there. So stuff's cheap, but there's not a lot going on there.
So that's a place where they don't have the economy.
Yeah.
So things are hella affordable because you got to make do with what's available.
Yeah. You don't have to have much money to buy anything there, but good luck finding it. It being the money.
What about places like Detroit? Same at this point. Detroit was doing well when they had all of the car factories. And then as they lost those, 50 years ago now? It's 50 years ago now? Shit.
Probably
in the 70s?
40, 50, somewhere like that. Yeah, maybe started in the 70s. I know the 80s and 90s, it accelerated a lot.
Okay, so at this point, it's all about just figuring out where these huge economies are, right? And historically in America, war has done really well for certain states.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, California has had the benefit of multiple, to some degree, revolutions when it comes to economies. You know, the tech, Hollywood.
Sure. I mean, there's like Tennessee and Alabama. There's some potential there. Like metropolitan Nashville has gotten very, very, very expensive the last couple of years. But there's, you know, there's gold to be found, so to speak, around those two states. And there is some military infrastructure. There's like, I was looking up the other day, somewhere in Tennessee, there's like a really huge munitions factory. There's some car factories from foreign cars that got government deals to be placed in Tennessee. So there's some stuff like that there.
So it's not even realistic for most men. So when that conversation is happening, shouldn't the conversation not be so much, hey, you know what? You need to provide 100% versus saying, hey, you need to be more involved in nurturing your family.
Yeah, I think to me personally, it surrounds the conversation of the variable of time. If you and your partner decide we're in love, we're going to embark on this mission together and we're 22, and we're going to take it as it comes, then your expectations need to be different because you set off on a mission when the man is very, very early in his career development arc. You can do that, and you have to understand what that means. You're prioritizing love and emotion. Don't forget that's your priority. Hmm. Or you can wait and say, I'm going to sit back a little bit. I'm not ready for this. When I'm set at 22, 32, I'll have 10 years of, you know, some savings. I'll have maybe a promotion that's happened in this time. I'm a little more prepared to shoulder this burden. I'm going to be financially responsible. That's going to be my paradigm, primary objective. And then you can do it that way. But you can't choose one and then act like you chose the other in the rearview mirror. No, you chose the one. You wanted to dive in your early 20s. This is what diving in your early 20s means. You have to be realistic.
Well, I think men know that, you know.
Well, they do, but then they like to fuck those girls. So, you know, hey.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you can be responsible all the time. You got to be responsible at the pullout moment, too.
Mm. Damn.
Or whatever.
I'm just thinking. Okay, but let's talk about guys that are in that situation right now, currently.
Sure.
Would a woman respect you? I don't know if a woman would respect you if you become 50% nurturer. Especially in the way that they nurture, right? So, like, let's say if you like, well, look, you know what, baby, I'm only making maybe, like, I'm only making 50% of the income in this house, so I'm gonna start cooking 50% of the time. Should that be the conversation when they're in the middle of it? Hey, you know what, you cook Sunday through Wednesday, I'm gonna cook Thursday through Friday. Does that really seem like a satisfying, like, I think the initial thought would make a woman feel cool, but I don't know if 10 years after that, they'll be like, this is still cool.
I think it's a reasonable concern. It probably depends on the woman, and also depends on how you shake it out. If it's like, you know, the woman want to work and cook or whatever, but you're waking up an extra hour early, you're getting the kids ready, you're taking them to school on your way to work, you're picking them up afterwards, maybe. You're doing whatever else. Like, if you're breaking your back 11 hours a day, then, you know, it just depends. I think what really it amounts to is the woman has to feel like you're doing all that you can do physically.
But they could never think that. They're going to still think you could do more.
Obviously.
I think it go back to that word expectations.
Yeah, it is. Expectations and being realistic. Hmm. It's this conversation right now, this is why I don't have any kids.
Me. What's crazy is I've been making great money for 17, 18 years. Even when I was selling dope, I was making really great money. So I probably made great money half of my life. You know what I mean? I don't know, man. Something about that conversation just feels disingenuous. And I don't know if it's because I think, you know, when people have it, it's about appeasing women as much as, are you really taking into account modern economics with most human beings?
No one takes the latter into account properly. What's funny about the first part is it's interesting how entrenched the idea is. The conversation's about appeasing women. That's always what it's about, isn't it?
Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
As if.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as if they'll ever be. That's one of my favorite comedy bits of all time. You know Ron White from the Blue Collar?
Crazy. I know who that is, but yeah.
I love Ron White. He's like one of my faves. And he had a bit where he says, finally, somebody in advertising decided to be honest. He's talking about De Beers diamonds. It says, diamonds take her breath away. Diamonds render her speechless. Why don't you just say what you mean? Diamonds, that'll shut her up. It's a great bit. I love
it. That's pretty good, though. I get it. That white comedy. I fuck with the white comedy, bro.
Yeah. That kind. I don't dig the vegan almond milk white comedy, but I'll fuck with the
blue fuck is vegan comedy. Almond milk white comedy?
You know what I'm talking about, bro.
I don't. I guess I wouldn't watch. Wait a minute. Let me see if my is Adam Sandler that?
No.
Is Adam Sandler that?
It would be like younger, soft. You know, I don't want to offend. I'm gonna say all the right PC things, whatever. I'm under 35. White guy comedy.
There's a white guy making that kind of comedy.
Yeah, man. You go to comedy clubs, you see a lot of white dudes up there scared shitless to say anything. That's why I don't like white audiences. Like, I won't perform in front of a white audience on purpose.
Oh, wow.
They use the expression black don't crack, but apparently our white cracks because it's so thin. At least that's what I gathered from the comedy audiences. Very sensitive.
Let me ask you a question. I mean, obviously I know your stance on it and you're not looking to find a wife. That's not a primary goal right now. Right now it's all peak time, blah, blah, blah. I would imagine you would be one of those kind of guys because that for sure would want to take care of all the responsibilities financially inside your house. I know you. Like, I know how you, it's part of our, you know, as men, as we carry ourselves, right? You're a man, you're an accountable guy.
I'm much more sinister than that.
You're much more sinister. Explain to me this sinister that you are.
Me at my worst? At my best, I don't want... At my best, I want to pay all the bills and cover all the expenses and do all of that because I want to be the embodiment of what I believe a man is supposed to
Facts.
Be. Because of my standards of
Who
integrity
yeah.
and character.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Then there's me at my worst.
And what's you at your worst?
Me at my worst? I want to pay every goddamn bill and do every goddamn chore. And you know why? Because I don't want a bitch to think she contributes a goddamn thing to this operation.
What the fuck is wrong with you? So you want to wash all the dishes and pay all the bills?
I'll do all of it. I already do it all now. I'm not gonna let you stroll on in here and act like you bought 50% of this company, sweetheart. You did not. You can sit your ass right over there. I'll take care of all of it. And when it's time for you to talk, I'll be out of the room.
Oh, man. Your ass is crazy.
Hey, I said that's me at my worst.
That's you at where are you at right now?
I'm always at my worst. Come on, you kidding me?
What's the next question?
I've had girls ask me, what is it that you want me to do? And I say nothing.
I want you to just sit in here.
Like this conversation's come up.
I just want you to be here.
Just make me less miserable while I do all this shit if you can. If you can't, don't worry about it. I'm still gonna be doing it.
I can respect that. As some weird way of controlling the situation, I guess.
It does control the situation.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
So what would you advise to a man that has a wife and two kids and they're in California, right? They're not doing the best. They busting their balls, but they ain't getting it done. So your immediate thing was like, hey, brother, move to Texas. You can afford a mortgage and you could do much more with your time if you don't have a full set of special skills.
Yeah. It'd be that or you have to figure something out. You have to communicate. I would say you and the woman have to communicate. You have to understand reality. I have to say, look, this is what it is. Here are our options. We can stay right here. We can have very little and you can do very little and I can do a lot and try to buy some time. And then while I'm working and then also educating myself with a monetizable skill, keyword monetizable, over the next couple of years, then within 3 years, we'll have a quality of life improvement. I just got to put myself through the ringer and you're just going to have to bite the bullet for 3 years. Or you can go work now and you can bite the bullet and I'll keep biting the bullet and we'll, piece together our resources and we can start to make some improvements. Or we can find somewhere else to be. And you're going to have to understand what that means and what that entails and whatever else. We can move somewhere else and you can continue to do your usual nothing and I'll do my usual everything. But my price per hour will remain fixed and the cost will come down to meet my price rather than raising my price to meet the cost. Whatever it is, you have to be on the same page. And if moving's what it takes, then moving's what it takes. And I wouldn't be opposed to that at all.
That's good, gang. That's for the brothers that's looking to really be a lot closer to 100% providers in their household.
Wait, was it the last podcast? Did I say my line on the last podcast?
What was your line on the last podcast? What's your line exactly?
I said I was telling this girl that all relationships are female extortion rackets. And the whole situation based off the idea that a woman is in a perpetual state of get me what I want because that guy over there has a dick and a credit card that works too.
Oh, man. These motherfuckers gonna kill you one of these days, man. They gonna fucking kill you, dog.
Who?
Women. You like Al Bundy all over again, dog.
What they gonna do? Complain about, oh, you're so right. Fuck you, you son of a bitch. You right, son of a bitch. Yeah, I am. I am right. Son of a bitch.
So what's the worst thing a man can do with his wife and his two kids in this current climate in California with no special skills?
Have them.
Well, they already got them.
Nah, no. The worst thing to do is probably allow for an expectation to manifest that there's more of a budget available than there really is. Because that's going to do two things simultaneously. It will at least do one thing. Right now, you get paid, say, at the end of the week for your time, and that time is X dollars. Well, they give them to you all at once. And the longer you have them, the lower the value goes of that money. So your compensation value is expiring perpetually.
As soon as you get your check, it's worth less than it was 5 minutes ago.
It's worth less. Yeah, it's like a used car now. So because of the ratios of your cash on hand, your earnings from cash on hand, and then your expenses, you need to be like just shoveling money into anything else that can increase in equity value or have some sort of dividend return payment. That's paramount right now. No matter what you're doing, you have to start chipping away your money and saving and scraping something. You have to get that money active.
You have to chip away at inflation.
You got to. So if you're setting an expectation that, yeah, sweetheart, you can get your hair done, your nails done, buy a new shoe, buy a new bag, go to brunch with the girls, all these things every week that you want to live your happiest, best life in your own mind, you're not going to be able to do that. And what you're also going to do inevitably, in addition to not being able to take advantage of favorable markets in a intersection of, you know, good markets and bad currency, you're also going to start taking on credit card debt, which in high interest rates is going to be like in the mid 20s, and you're just going to get crushed and you're not going to feel it today. It's going to be like slowly turning the water up on a lobster or something like that. But that money is going to get big and that interest is going to get big and you're not going to be able to pay that off. It's not going to happen. You're going to end up out, dead ass out. And then you're going to go from having cash to spend and credit to spend to no credit to spend and only cash. You're going to have to let this shit all go to collections. You're going to demolish your credit. And if it's big enough, you're going to have to BK.
Bankrupt. People that don't know what the fuck you're
talking about. Or you're just going to have to sit there with fucked credit for 7 years.
I had this conversation with Joey before. And I was telling him that.
Oh, I didn't think that BK in your audience might mean blood killers. Also, yes, bankrupt. No,
that's
bankrupt.
Not. They. <it's>, people that listen to No Ceilings understand the difference. But I'm just saying.
I know. I'm just. You got to make love jokes.
Okay, so look, no. But I was telling Joey this. We were talking about it. He was talking about a buddy of his, and I was like, man. His buddy had just got married, and I was telling him, I'm like, yo, make sure you buy what you can afford because women will push you to buy some shit you can't afford, right? And I'm like, yo, he's like, well, if I bring home $5,800, you know, and mortgages is $3,200, I'm like, how many children they got? They like, none. I'm like, then why would your rent be $3,700? She gonna want this house. I'm like, well, why not get a house that you can afford? You know what I mean? On your salary. Why not getting a living domain? He like, well, she ain't going to go for that. I'm like, well, she ain't going for you. And
you know, I've always blamed the 2000 housing crash bubble on this exact description.
Sure. So if somebody makes $5,800, which is really good money, because that's probably, that's like somebody pretty much almost making $100,000 a year before taxes. Or at $100,000 a year before taxes.
Oh, $5,800 per check?
Yeah. No, $5,800 a month. So roughly like $6,000. That's 70. You bring home $72,000 roughly, take $200 off each, $2,400. So that's what, $70, $69 and some change? That's pretty much $100,000 a year before taxes.
That's good money. Yeah.
So if somebody's bringing home $5,800 a month, how much can they afford? I was telling him my belief is I wouldn't be spending more than $2,000. He was like, well, where the hell are we going to live with $2,000? Wherever $2,000 gets you. If this is your old lady, you feel me? This shit, this is where we at. You don't got to pay none of the money. He was like, well, she'll try to chip in. Don't let her chip in. Don't let her do that because later on she'll resent you for that little money she got to spend. If the place is 27 and she got to give up $700, she'll resent you for the $700.
Yeah, you'll be half a man.
Yeah, you'll be fine for the first 4 or 5 months, but when she realizes she have to go to work versus wanting to go to work, it's a different thing.
Yeah, and I'm always a woman wanting to go to work. You don't want to go to work. You just want to have some leverage in this conversation.
Mm. Okay, so we at that mark. So why the fuck are you calling your grandmother a slut, man?
I thought I had 17 more minutes.
No, you don't have 17. This is your time right now to explain to me why I should be okay with you calling your grandmother and your fucking great-grandmother a slut.
Okay, I'll tell you exactly why. Well, my slut grandma's on her fourth
husband.
Please
stop calling her a slut. Just you let me know. Just say my grandmother. Please, for my sake. It'll make me feel better.
My grandfather got her pregnant and married her.
Okay.
And he worked full time. And he was diagnosed in his mid-20s with multiple sclerosis.
Okay.
And he continued to work full time. When he could hardly walk, he continued to work full time. He went to work every day and paid every bill. They had four kids. He fed every mouth. Full time, all the time. In deteriorating health, in deteriorating quality of life, and all of that shit. For about 20 years.
A solid man. Rest in peace, that gentleman.
Yeah, he lived with MS for 54 years for a
so they don't make humans like that no more. These niggas couldn't live with MS for 2 days.
It's a shame that he had to live those last 33, 34 years by his goddamn self in a house alone. Because the house he had lived in and paid for and bought, she was living in. And that when he was at work, before the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed, so he couldn't even let anybody know he had that shit or he'd be fucking fired. So while he was trying to walk without canes from the office to the car, she was fucking guys in the house in his bed while he was out at work paying the fucking bills. And then she fucking divorced him and took his fucking house. And then he died alone on the floor in his fucking house. And she's on her fourth husband with an ocean fucking view. And you tell me who's a fucking slut, grandma.
God damn it, Pete.
She not a slut, grandma?
No, she's not a slut, grandma.
She's a filthy 10-cent whore, grandma. That's what the fuck she is. Tell that right
Pete,
now.
No. She's not righteous. I'm there. She's not righteous. I agree. She's unrighteous. That's not righteous. Very promiscuous.
I can't believe my grandfather didn't die on death row.
No, no. This is not a story about your grandfather, your grandmother being promiscuous over the top. This is a story about how they used to make men.
It is.
This is
and
not
it's a story about her being that shit too.
This is not your grandmother's story. See, and that's what I'm all saying. Right. This is
your
story
maybe
about.
Maybe this isn't a good example.
No, this is a story about my super grandfather.
No, that's half the story.
No, that's the whole story.
We started. You know, hold on. I made a mistake. Okay. I should have started at the beginning. With my slut great-grandmother.
I'm done. This shit is over with.
No, it's not. It's not over yet.
I don't want to hear about why your great-grandmother's a slut.
Yes, you do.
No, I do. This does not feel right in the black guy's
sport. So my great-grandfather was a... stand-up guy from Fitzgerald, Georgia. And he was in the Navy. He was stationed on the West Coast. He thought California's paradise. He moved his wife and the family out to California from Georgia after he was done with his service. They moved to a town, interestingly enough, called Paradise in Northern California, a low-rent white trash town full of low-rent white trash folks. Which subsequently burned down in a fire. The whole town. The town no longer exists. The whole goddamn town burned down.
Yeah,
that was a town. So he was a butcher, you know, worked all day, every day, paid every bill. Had, you know, I think they had four kids too. And good guy, went to church every Sunday, which is interesting because you wouldn't think going to church every Sunday that would be such a problem until your wife started fucking the pastor in your church. And left you for him.
So So minus all of this, there's only really the real story is.
And then moved the pastor into the house, lied about everything because, oh, our pastor got put out of his church. Can he stay here with us for a while? Because he works 6.5 fucking days a week as the town butcher. But, you know, it is what it is.
The real question is, why do the men in your fucking family?
I don't know why there's a simp gene on that side of the family. I don't know what the fuck's going on over there, bro. I've talked about that with my cousin like 100 times. I said, bro, I don't understand what the fuck that shit's about.
Are you at least breaking the chain?
Does it look like I got motherfucking women fucking men in my apartment right now that are not me?
Good looking out for tuning in to the No Ceilings Podcast. Please do us a favor and subscribe, rate, comment, and share. This episode was recorded right here on the west coast of the USA and produced by the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. Yeah.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.